All right. Well, good morning. I'm Father Dan, if you don't know me. And I thought we'd just, I'm sure you've already prayed this morning, but let's begin this talk in prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we welcome you here in this place. We declare that you are Lord in our parish, in our families and homes, and in our very lives. We ask that you would have your way, and we give you permission, Lord. We ask especially that you would draw us deeper into the mystery of who you have created us to be, and what it means to be made in your image and likeness, that we would enter into a deeper communion and fellowship with you. We ask this as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning. And in all of these sessions, not necessarily about new stuff that you don't know. It's like, oh, I've never heard that before. This is new information. Maybe sometimes. But really, the goal of a lot of the catechesis that we do is it's formation as well. And so we're going deeper into something that we already know. We're relearning something that we already have heard before. But maybe of many things in the faith, we learn them as children often. And then we learn them again as young adults, and then we learn them again as adults, and then we learn them again and again and again as adults. And every time we learn them, because we are in a new chapter of our lives, we can enter more deeply into what that means. So I just wanted to say that as a way of saying this isn't supposed to be, if you feel like, oh, I kind of already knew some of these things, well, yeah, but there's more to enter into. Sometimes. And if it is new, that's totally fine. It's fine wherever you are. Wherever you are in your faith journey. The whole point of catechesis is, and this is true of all learning, is that it doesn't matter if you don't know everything. It doesn't matter if you don't know anything. And to give yourself the permission to be a beginner. And that's hard to do. But, and if you're like, oh, well, Father, I don't have to give myself permission. I am a beginner. That's fine. Like, that's totally fine. If you feel like, Father, I'm not a beginner, try to be, because it helps all learning, but especially when you're going deeper into something that you've already heard before. So I just wanted to preface that as, like, what is the goal? What are we trying to do here? We're trying to enter into something that the Lord is offering us. Not just to get head knowledge about something. But with that said, the scope of today's talk is, at first, we're going to talk about creation. We're going to start with Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to go all the way through the entire Bible. We're going to read it in one sitting. Sometimes as a joke, I give people a penance to read the entire Book of Leviticus in one sitting. If you fall asleep, you have to start over. But I do actually want to go into the very beginning, because it speaks to who we are and where we come from. I was reading Matthew Kelly's book. Does anyone know who Matthew Kelly is? Okay. Motivational speaker, but like Catholic motivational speaker. And he writes books, and they sound like you're reading a motivational speaker's speech. They're good. They're really good. But He takes something very simple and kind of keeps confronting you with it until you think, oh, yeah, actually, I could learn that again. He was talking about, he was telling a story, which I don't know if it's a true story, in this book called The Biggest Lie. Matthew Kelly wrote a book called The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. And I don't remember what The Biggest Lie was, but anyway, I remember the introduction, and in the introduction, he tells the story of a man who's working from home. He's a father. He's got one kid at home. And he's preparing this presentation for the next day. The next day he has this big presentation and it's a really big deal. And he can't get anything done because his son keeps bothering him and nagging him. And I see some heads nodding. Okay. And he says, I got to give my kid something to do. I got to occupy this guy. He's a really active little guy. So the dad goes and he finds a newspaper. He cuts out this full page ad with a picture of the globe on it. He cuts it out like by country or like by region and makes it into a puzzle. And he scatters all the pieces around and he says, here, son, I want you to put the world back together. Thinking, I don't even think we have a globe in our house. He doesn't know what the world looks like. This is going to take him forever. Goes back to his work. About 2 minutes later, his son comes in, got it done, Dad. And he's like, he's pasted it to some piece of cardboard. He's like, how did you do that? And his son says, well, on the back page of the newspaper, there was a picture of a man. So I figured I could just put the man together and the world would be just right. And his dad had this epiphany moment. If you get the man right, you get the world right. If you don't get the man right, the world's going to be disordered. And the fundamental thing that he's communicating with that is that we have to know who and what we are, what we're made for, or the world and the way it works and all the decisions that we make and the priorities that we have won't really serve our true human needs. And so the first question is, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What matters most? What matters least? What are the things that actually matter? And what am I made for? And so to address that, you might call this Christian anthropology, the study of who and what we are. To address that, we go to the book of Genesis, and we see, have you ever read Genesis chapter 1, like since you were a kid? And you read this and you think, boy, what is this telling us? Because I think with all of our modern science, we want to read everything like it's a science book. Genesis wasn't written as a science book. It's not trying to tell us how the earth came into being or when. How old is the earth? That's not what it's trying to tell you. But it is trying to tell us who and why. Who's telling the story? Who are you? Who made the earth? Who made you? And why? Why did God make you? So God creates in the story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created light and darkness. And then after each day, he says, God saw that it was good. Then he got dry land and water, and he says that it was good. He makes the moon and the stars and all the celestial bodies, and it's good. And he makes the fish and the birds, and he says, it's good. And he makes the animals that move across the land and all the plants, and he says, it's good. I'm not necessarily giving these in the right order, but... And then we get, finally, I don't know, we come along in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle, and over all wild animals and all the creatures that crawl on the ground. God created man in his image. In the divine image, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then God says, be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion. And at the end of this day, God says that it is very good. Which in English might sound like that cool of an upgrade. But when God looks at the sunset, he says, oh, that's good. When he looks at the mountains, he says, that's good. I made something good. When he looks at the vast galaxies in ways that perhaps only he can do, he says, it's good. When he looks at, I don't know, giraffes and bears, he says, it's good. But when he looks at you, he says, it's very good. And when you were conceived and when you were born, he looked at you and he said, it is very good. And the delight that the Father takes in you and in me must be our starting point to receive who and what we are. because we come from him. And the Bible is not like other creation accounts. There are many stories of creation. This is the only ancient one that begins with the power of God just speaking something. It's more peaceful than all of the others. The earth didn't get created through some war or some conflict. You know, and some dragon died, and that's why the ocean is this shape, or there was some adversity between the gods or between God and man. It's just, there's peace. And we come from God. We're his idea. And so when God looks at us and says, very good, what he sees in us, like it can be a mystery to us many times. And yet we're called to enter into that mystery because we receive ourselves in the love that others give us. And that's true just from like growing up, like as a little kid. I mean, this is just human psychology. You, when you love your children, you teach them what they are. And they actually receive themselves through your love for them. They actually know who they are because they know they're lovable because you love them. Because you hug them and smile at them and you feed them and you're there for them. They know who they are. They won't actually know that they're lovable. They won't be able to receive themselves if you don't love them. Well, if someone doesn't love them. But, I mean, that's one of the graces that God has given you as parents. And it's a powerful mystery. This is also true for us in our relationship with God. That we know that we are a someone and not just a something. We're made in God's image. That's something special. What does that mean, to be in God's image and likeness? Does it mean that we look like him? Like there's a family portrait, you know, you look like your dad or you look like your mom. Or you look like your grandma. I look just like my dad's dad. And in some ways that we want to say, oh, you're chip off the old block. My paternal grandfather was, I mean, the resemblance when I was in high school is absolutely uncanny. It's interesting. You look at two pictures of us, and if he hadn't been like a World War II pilot, you know, with like the grainy photos, I almost wonder, like, if I had dressed the right way and combed my hair the right way, we could have had a doppelganger going. But what does it mean that you're made in the Father's image and likeness? What do you as a man or as a woman reflect about the glory of God? And so one of the things that it means is that you're a someone and not a something. And that we receive when we are loved in relationship. Your kids, like I'm saying, you as a kid or your kids, as little as babies and infants and little children, they only know themselves in relationships because we're persons, which means we're made for relationships. And so we receive ourselves as being lovable and good and, you know, in the love of others. And if we don't know that through them, we don't know that. We can't give that to ourselves. So actually, what we're going to do a lot is just have time for a small group discussion at your tables. And I want to have you go ahead and dive into these two questions. What is the difference between being a someone and a something? And what is significant about me being made in God's image? Like, in what ways do we share in God and being in his image? What does that mean? If I don't know if the question is clear enough, but what does it mean that we're made in God's image? So go ahead and, I don't know, take a few minutes and just discuss at your tables these two questions.